We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
And welcome back in Wisconsin. It is the Bill Michaels Show. Tim Allen picking up where Bill left off here. A couple hours left. And when kids come a-calling, you go running. That's the way it works as a parent. Those of you that are parents, you know exactly what Bill is talking about. You know where we come from. And as a parent of 22 years now for me, I completely understand there's certain benchmarks in your kid's life that you can't miss because you don't get them back. So we've got a lot of things coming up here on the final couple of hours of the Bill Michaels Show here on a Thursday edition. But first, we'll get to Brewers baseball. I know that may shock some of you, some of you that don't know that I've been handling post-game duties, talking Brewers baseball in Milwaukee for now 14 years. And it shouldn't surprise some of you that we're gonna talk Brewers baseball on the Schneider Orange Hotline. We'll welcome in my friend and former Brewers pitcher. He played for a couple of other teams as well. His name is Paul Wagner. Paulie, what's happening?
Timmy, thanks for having me on, brother.
Yeah, I know you're a little pressed for duty here. We're going to get into this topic in just a little while, so I do want to ask you about it before we get to actual Brewers baseball. I don't know if you caught last night in Houston, the Chicago-Houston game, where a ball off the bat of Almero struck a young girl, and I couldn't read in all the studying I did. I don't know how old the girl was. Do we know, like 3 or 4, I'm going to guess? From a player's standpoint, when that happens, Almero Jr. was visibly shaken, and rightly so, man. That's got to be tough. But from a player's perspective, man, what goes through your minds?
Just the same way he reacted, because you just said you're the father of, for 22 years. We all have children. We are baseball players. We do play the game of baseball. It's a fun game. People come and watch it. But again, we grew up with parents. We have children. We have grandparents. We have family. And when you see something like that happen, especially an uncontrollable, people not paying attention, a foul ball or a line drive like that, or even a baseball bat flying into the stands, man, it really touches everybody's heart because, again, we are human beings. Baseball players are humans and have hearts.
Yeah, we forget about that sometimes. We look up to you guys and ask for autographs, and you're Teflon, man. But we forget that. Well, there's a private life. There's feelings in there. You guys aren't robots and things like that. That's just, man. And we're going to talk about a solution to that. But real quick before we move on to Brewers. Are you opposed to the netting all the way down to the foul poles?
No, I'm not at all. And only because the game is faster, it's quicker, things are happening at a rapid pace. People, in the old days, there wasn't such thing as iPads, iPhones. People weren't checking scores, ordering on Amazon. They weren't doing things at the ballpark rather than just watching the ball game. There's so many things going on now in people's lives that when they go to the ball game to watch 9 innings of baseball, there's very few that actually pick up the scorebook or buy the program at the front gate, take it in, and actually keep score anymore. There's just so many things going on in society today. So wrap it up, make the nets. Obviously, we don't want to obstruct views or anything like that. But you know what? Protection because of the fact we are not 100% engaged in the game of baseball as a fan.
Yeah, that's, and we'll get into that conversation coming up in a little while. So stick around for that. Paulie, Brewers into Pittsburgh for a 4-game set, and it was almost like a little bit of a respite here from Brewers baseball. They have a rare Wednesday off day yesterday. And they had the day off on Monday, so it's sort of right at the 1/3 mark, and we can reset and recalibrate. Pittsburgh did a deed on the Brewers going into the All-Star break last year. They seem to be a little bit better than a lot of people thought. Brewers, have they played their best baseball yet, Paulie?
The Brewers, no, absolutely not. And you look at that Pittsburgh team, we've always either, we go in streaks with them. It's sometimes it's like, we can't lose there, we can't win there. It's never a split the series type thing. It's always seems to be an all or nothing. I look at Pittsburgh's rotation, they should be a lot better than they are. But, you know, I am a Pittsburgh guy at heart. That's where I came up with in the big leagues. And I look at the trade that they made, especially the one to Tampa for Chris Archer. You lose a guy like Meadows and you lose a pitcher like Tyler Glass now. I don't know where they're going. I know Pittsburgh's got Bell. Bell is on fire, maybe 18 home runs already. But you know what? We haven't reached our peak as a Brewer team. And maybe, just maybe, going into Pittsburgh right now, we grab some traction. And then we come back, and then Pittsburgh comes in the following week into Miller Park, and we just speed and take off.
Hey, is Josh Hader being utilized to the full potential of this organization?
Tough question. I you know what? I got to look at the loss of Corey Knebel shuffles everything. We look at the blueprint from last year, and it worked almost immaculate. I don't think, you know, Josh Hader pitches 70 innings, strikes out 150 guys, gives up one run. You know what? That was just a crazy situation that all worked out good. Josh has obviously got an electric arm. He loves being in the bullpen. That's what he likes. He likes to not know. From what I gathered from our small conversations at Brewers on Deck and stuff like that, he enjoys the phone ringing and getting the blood pumping as a fast or of a quick of a button, rather than, you know, thinking, hey, I start in 5 days, or I have a bad start, now I have to go back again in 5 days. So I think Josh is in a comfortable situation, and that's what you always want to do as a manager. And I'm sure Craig is and Chris have had many, many conversations with Josh and how to utilize him, how many days off he really needs after pitching 30 pitches, 2 innings, et cetera, et cetera. So use his abilities. Sometimes the grass isn't always greener on the other side, you know. Keep him in a comfortable role, and let's just continue with the success we have and build around him.
The Brewers' offense here, Paulie, I still think have not really found a rhythm, and we can point at Jesus Aguilar and Eric Thames to a degree. Certainly yeah. Travis Shaw. When he's down in the minors here and still sort of struggling to find it a little bit, it seems to me this year that the other guys are focusing in and really trying to bear down against this Brewers offense.
And advanced scouting, you know, that's what it does. I'm not saying the Brewers snuck up on anybody last year, but maybe like a Jesus Aguilar. The Brewers have always had sneak up guys. We've always had guys that kind of come out of the woodwork and turn into superstars for maybe a year. We've had the Jonathan Villars, the Domingo Santanas, Orlando Arcia struggled in the beginning last year, Jesus Aguilar. We've had guys that have come back, but once you go through this league, there's so much money in scouting, sabermetrics, numbers, advanced scouting. Hey, I tell you what, Timmy, it's a hard gig to try to fool people. You know, everybody says, oh, he can hit this. He hit 30 home runs this year. He's going to hit 40 this year. Well, you know what? If you hit 3 home runs off of me last year, I'm only going to let you hit 1 home run off of me this year. So, you know, it's a teeter-totter.
No, I've talked to some of these ball players, and they're like, hey, man, a hanging slider, oh, there ain't nothing. People at what I've asked these guys, what's the best pitch? Fastball right down the middle, fastball middle in, belt high. Hanging slider is what they just love. on the other side, though, you as a pitcher, oh man. And I know you've ripped on yourself a little bit here and there, but the hanging slider from the other viewpoint, you know it when it leaves your hand, don't you?
Oh yeah, you know, and you just squint your eyes. And you try to like, you hope he misses it rather than crushing over to your head, swinging over your head.
No, just come on, hang a few sliders and get the Brewers offense into some rhythm. Hey, man, I know you're busy, so we're going to cut you loose right here. Paulie, we'll talk soon on the postgame show for sure.
Awesome. Thanks, Timmy. Have a good one.
Yeah, you got it. There's Paul Wagner, former Brewers pitcher, talking a little baseball here on the Bill Michaels Show on the Schneider Orange Hotline.
Schneider hiring drivers right now. They work hard, you work hard, they treat you fair. For 80-plus years, they've been getting it done. Call them 844-PRIDE or go to schneiderjobs.com. That's 844-PRIDE or go to schneiderjobs.com.
And those of you that usually listen to the Bill Michaels Network, when I fill in, we typically start with Tim Allen's news and notes. Oh, fear not. We've got a few. We'll talk some Bucks basketball in a little bit with Eric Name from The Athletic, but stick around. A few tidbits you may have missed in the world of sports. Tim in for Bill today here on The Bill Michaels Show.
You're listening to The Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
All right, welcome back. It is The Bill Michaels Show, a Thursday edition. Bill off just a little bit early today. Tim Allen filling in. That's me. And we'll get to some Bucks conversation with Eric Name in just a couple of minutes from The Athletic. And I would say button up the Bucks season, but I don't think so. I don't think that's a proper term, because that narrative is going to continue with what the Bucks did this year. Starting to settle in, though, I will say that. That the Bucks did have a nice ride here and just ended just a little bit short. All right, we usually start with news and notes, and we had to squeeze in Paul Wagner there. Our good friend talks some Brewers baseball, but that's some things just to catch you up to speed here. Brewers off yesterday. They fire up a four-game set in Pittsburgh, and again, as always at PNC, rain in the forecast in the Pittsburgh area, so might be a long night. Cubs beat the Astros yesterday. That means the Brewers sit just a game out. And we talked about that prior to the season, that this is going to be a dogfight in the National League Central. I'm going to go back and forth between a number of teams. Namely, it was Cardinals, Brewers, and Cubs. However, this Pittsburgh team, they might be a team that if things drop right for them and they get some luck going, man, it could be a little bit of a run. They could find themselves knocking on the door here in this race as well. NBA Finals fire up tonight, and this is just me. I understand that it's pretty important to a lot of you that enjoy the NBA. But since the Bucks were eliminated, I got to be honest, if it's not for work, I don't care. I could care less. Now, for once in my life, I'm probably, if I had a rooting interest in this thing, I would say that because Toronto took the Bucks out, then I'm rooting for Toronto to get taken out. It's just natural, I guess. But if it weren't for work, yeah, whatever. I mean, if it gets to a game seven, I guess I'll fire up just a little bit and watch that thing. But NBA Finals do start tonight. My dial is on the Brewers game, for sure. Either way, work or not work. And speaking of the Cubs, hey, last night, we're going to get into this in a few minutes, so stick around for this. I want to have a conversation about safety at ballparks and the netting at ballparks and where the onus is on. Who's held culpable when someone gets hurt from a batted ball or even a baseball bat? I do want to get into that because it's really interesting, and I'm trying to understand both sides of it, but it appears that it's an ongoing problem. And when a little kid is involved, I think it steps to the forefront. People forget that last year, I believe it was, that a 79-year-old woman in California was struck with a baseball and ended up dying from a brain hemorrhage. We didn't get all up in arms, or at least in this area we didn't. When there's a kid involved, rightly so, we should, if it's going to help prevent other people from getting hurt. I want to have that conversation, so stick around for that. It's just a sad thing at the Cubs-Astros game last night. Stanley Cup Finals, if you guys are into hockey, I know the Milwaukee Admirals have sort of opened the door in the last many years with hockey, for me at least. But those of you watching and have rooting interest, Boston and St. Louis tied at one in their best of seven for the Stanley Cup Finals. Interestingly, I always like to add in a little news and note onto this one. There's a guy in St. Louis that was in Las Vegas for work last year, and he allotted himself $500 to gamble with. And he didn't really get into the gambling too much. He tried a little blackjack, but still had the lion's share of his money left when his trade show ended. So he threw $400 on the St. Louis Blues to win it all, and he stands to win. And he's not really a gambler. I mean, you hear about the professional gamblers. This dude, he's put $400 on them. If they win it all, he wins $125,000. I'm rooting for him. Forget about the teams. I'll go for that dude. All-star game for baseball. It was announced yesterday that SunTrust Park in Atlanta will host the 2021 Midsummer Classic. Cubs and Cardinals, it was announced, will play in London next year, next June. Hey, that's a good here, immediately I'm selfish thinking about how is this going to help the Brewers. Anytime you go across the pond, man, travel, time zones, the whole deal, they come back tired. I know they get a couple of days off when they get back, but that may help the Brewers' 2020 championship season. Just throwing that out there. It is official. The NBA did talk to the Raptors. They talked to Drake. They talked to the Raptors about Drake's antics. And I wasn't aware of this, but Drake is what they call the Raptors brand ambassador. Is that what he is?
International brand ambassador.
Sorry about that.
To the foreign land of Canada.
Okay. Very, very good. That's true. In our neck of the woods here, the June 9th game, Brewers, that's a week from this Sunday. It's sold out. This Sunday game just sold out. Why is this? Christian Yelich bobble. Christian Yelich bobblehead day, sold out already. That's the MVP bobble that is happening. I don't know if we're going to get into the Chris Long conversation. I had planned that, but with what happened last night at the Cubs game, I want to get into that. In a little while, so stick around for that. But Chris Long, there needs to be some conversations about whether or not the NFL is going to continue to look away from marijuana use or just go ahead and say, hey, man, go ahead. For pain tolerance, go ahead and smoke your weed. Yeah, it's an interesting debate. Legal, illegal, the whole deal, pain management, CTE is involved. Not just football, but we might have time for that before 2 o'clock as well. So there's your news and notes. Got a lot on our plate, including Bucks basketball. Eric Name covers the Bucks for The Athletic. He will join us next here. Tim Allen in today, a Thursday edition of the Bill Michaels Show.
Border to border, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
And welcome back. It is the Bill Michaels Show, a Thursday edition. Bill has a reliever. Would that be a good way to put it?
Oh, you're a closer, Tim.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, because I will end the show. My name is Tim Allen, and Bill had to take off. Kids stuff, cool stuff, for sure. But I'm happy to be here, and so is Eric Name of The Athletic on the Schneider Orange Hotline talking Bucks basketball. Eric, what's happening? It's Tim here.
Not much. How are you?
More important, how you are. Okay, so how much fun? Let me talk about you. Let's get into you for a second here, Eric, because everyone talks Bucks basketball, and we never know anything about you. How much fun was this for you, this run?
It was pretty great. There's no doubt about that. This was my first year getting to travel with the team as part of the coverage I did at the Athletic. So it was pretty crazy to be, dropped into this season for the Milwaukee Bucks, their best one in a couple decades, and honestly one of their best in franchise history. So it was pretty crazy for me. It was fun, and that's a season I think we'll end up remembering for a long time. Obviously, you hope in the coming years there's a couple more years that make you forget this one a little bit, but this was a special season.
Yeah, no, because doing post game and handling Brewers for so long, everyone tells me, well, when they have a crappy year, that's got to suck for you. And it's like, no, not really. I mean, you're still getting paid to cover a team and to talk about a team and what you like. Did you grow up a Bucks fan at all, Eric?
Yeah, so I'm originally from Slinger, Wisconsin. So I grew up watching the Bucks, and I think it helps me understand just how bad things were for a long time. There's always there's this one quote that I don't even know who told me it, but they're telling me about covering a team, and, you know, they said, it's easier to write about an autopsy than a birthday party. And what yeah. they meant was, you know, when a team loses, there's always something to talk about, right? Like, I can break down what's going wrong with the team until, I mean, for a whole night, it doesn't matter. I can keep going and going and going for when things go wrong. And I think we've been able to do that here after seeing the Bucks lose in the Eastern Conference Finals. But, you know, when everything's going right, I don't want to say it's almost more difficult, but when everything's going right, you know, there's not a lot of drama. There's not a lot to really think about, which to me really made this Eastern Conference Finals interesting and fun, because for the first time in a really long time, probably months, I was writing about why is this Bucks team struggling and what's going wrong with the Bucks. I hadn't written a what's wrong with the Bucks story in, I don't even know, 2 months?
Right.
But yeah, they had just been so good, so... for me, you know, it was at times this year, it was kind of difficult to figure out what to write about because they were just so good the whole time. So yeah, I think every year is going to be interesting. But this one, as far as being memorable, this one will go up near the top.
That is cool. I'm happy for you, man. And we've never met, but I am happy for you. And it was in autopilot there for a while, and everybody was just waiting for the playoffs to get here. And that is sort of a good thing and a bad thing too. I think you want to get tested. Would that have played a part in it a little bit? I mean, for the first time they had lost 3 in a row and then obviously 4 in a row to get bumped, but did that play a little part that they weren't sort of tested in a bounce back sort of sense?
I think how that would have helped is this Bucks team ran a very simple offense and defense the entire season that, you know, offensively, they were going to give the ball to Giannis, they were going to spread the floor, and Giannis was going to attack, and you had an option. Either you were going to let Giannis just go one-on-one and probably score 40 points that night and win the game, or you were going to stop him from doing that. He was going to kick it out to open shooters, and the Bucks were going to shoot a bunch of threes. And that's very simple, right? Like, the basketball is pretty difficult to make much simpler than that. And because of that, the Bucks found a ton of success doing that. And, you know, the nights where they lost, you know, sometimes that wouldn't happen. Sometimes they would just miss a bunch of open shots, and it was, at that point, it was easy to say, well, you know, open shots go in, everything will be fine. That's how it goes. And when they got to the Eastern Conference Finals, they, you know, finally experienced a team that had the smarts in Nick Nurse making a couple of really smart adjustments as the coach of the Raptors in Game 3 to really make it difficult on them. And then they had the defenders to actually make it difficult on Giannis, because it's not like other teams hadn't thought of, you know, the way that the Raptors defended the Bucks. They just had the talent and the personnel to actually, you know, really turn the screws. So because of that, the Bucks didn't really have other ways to score. They have other players that can score in different ways, but they didn't really work on those things during the regular season because they were more concerned about implementing their system making sure that everything that they wanted to do to get to this spot was going to be right. So they hadn't really had to go through that, and that's where I think, you know, seeing a little bit of adversity may have helped out this team, because they might have been able to handle those situations a little bit better. And I think going forward, that is probably something that we will see from Giannis, as he will figure out ways to handle defenses that defend him well a little bit better. And I think we'll see from Mike Boonholzer as well next year, is figuring out different ways to score, not just rely on Giannis and say, all right, Giannis is the battering ram, and if you shut the battering ram down, we're going to kick it out for three, and that's how we're going to go. I think they'll find other ways during the regular season and actually work on those different ways of beating teams and trying to find it, you know, different solutions to the exact same problem.
Well, and that's the thing. Now that the dust has settled, instead of being pissed about the Bucks losing, now, you know, me, like a casual Bucks fan, I think a lot of Bucks fans are feeling the same thing. We start gravitating toward crediting Toronto for what they did instead of being upset with the Bucks for what they didn't do. Hey, that Toronto team, now that the dust has settled, they can play defense. And I don't think we knew that as Bucks fans heading into this in terms of overall, Eric. But man, they can play defense. They're really good defensively.
Yeah, they're fantastic defensively. And to me, going into the series, the one thing I had said was, you know, the Raptors could win this series if Kawhi Leonard could have a Herculean effort where on one end he's defending Giannis Antetokounmpo, and on the other end he's leading the Raptors offense. And I truly didn't believe that was possible because it's such a big ask out of one player.
Yep.
You're asking a single player to do so much on defense. Like going up against Giannis every single possession is a lot. And then offensively for him to still be able to find success was just incredible. So for me, that was kind of the surprise, is that he could go to that level and he could do so much. It's just a level of production that, you know, isn't really rivaled by many other people out there. Like, we always talk about guys being good two-way players, and I mean, I don't think you can play much better defense than Kawhi Leonard did, and offensively, it's tough to find anyone performing better in the entire playoffs than Kawhi Leonard, and that's just kind of insane to be able to do both of those things on both sides of the ball, and yeah, ultimately, I think that led to the Raptors being even better than anyone ever thought they would be.
How do they stand a fair against Golden State here?
Oof. The Bucks are a very different problem than the Golden State Warriors. They're going to run very different things. And, you know, obviously you're going to be looking at Steph Curry and Klay Thompson as opposed to just one guy in Giannis. And, you know, I think they have enough defensive talent up and down that roster to make things tough on the Warriors. And, you know, I think this is probably the most we're going to see this Warriors team challenged in, I don't want to say the entire time that they've been a dynasty. Obviously, they lost one to the Cavaliers. But, you know, just looking at it, this is a Raptors team that really defends hard. And those Cavaliers teams of the last few years did not at all. You look at that last year's team, they were in the 20s in defense around the league. So that was a bad defensive team. So this is a real challenge for this Warriors team. I'm not sure the Raptors can pull it off, but I think my official pick would be Warriors in six. They get to end it at home at Oracle. Final game at Oracle Arena is the Warriors winning the championship. And maybe that's the storyteller in me that just wants that to happen because it would be so poetic. But that's the way that I'm leaning in this series.
Eric Name of The Athletic covers the Bucks. He's also our insider on the Bill Michaels flagship station, The Fan, in Milwaukee as well. So where do the Bucks go from here then, Eric, as you know, there's going to have to be some changes, right? And everyone's saying, well, there seems to be so many moving parts. Giannis' potential quadrillion-dollar deal on the horizon, and then you've got some free agents to take care of. You tell me if this is a little off base or out of left field. Go back at it again with as many parts as you can retain. Does that make sense? You just won 60 games, had a deep run. You came a couple of games from the NBA Finals. Does it make sense to let the lion's share of these group of guys stay together and give them another shot at it?
I think you always have to be concerned about the NBA figuring you out, changing, developing. The NBA moves really quick. So I think that's always a concern. But really, when you look at that series against the Raptors, you know, I think people are quick to say, well, you know, Chris Middleton wasn't good enough, or Eric Bledsoe wasn't good enough, or Brook Lopez wasn't good enough, or whoever. You want to say all those things, but to me, in that series, the Bucks were Giannis Antetokounmpo being the Giannis that we saw in the first 90 games of the season away from the NBA Finals. Like, if he just produces at the level that he's produced at the entire season, they're in the NBA Finals right now. And because of that, I think you have to lean on kind of what you said there, where, you know, you try to bring it back as much as you can, and there's a pretty feasible path to being able to bring back Chris Middleton, Malcolm Brogdon, Brook Lopez, and George Hill. You're probably going to end up losing Nikola Mirotic, but I think Bucks fans would, you know, maybe even argue that maybe Mirotic isn't needed going forward after his postseason. So I think you can bring all those guys back and have a pretty similar season, especially considering Giannis was just 24 this year. You go into Giannis's year 25 season, and year after year, he just gets better. That he's done it, and it's at this point, it's insane at the level with which he's done it, just how much better he's gotten year after year. But again, I think that's what you're going to see. You're going to see him get better. And as I told the guys on the big show in Milwaukee the other day, you know, if you want me, if you're going to tell me this Bucks team can be better and go even further as long as Giannis Antetokounmpo gets better, I'm going to take that bet 10 out of 10 times.
Yeah.
Like, he's just that type of player. He's that type of transcendent talent. Like, for me, I will take that bet. That seems like a fair bet. So that's why I think maybe I'm a little bit more willing to just bring it all back and roll the ball out again than some people. But for me, just seeing the way that he struggled in that series, I don't think you're going to see him struggle like that again. I think he's going to find ways to break through. And if that's the case, you should find yourself, you know, once again in the Eastern Conference Finals. And again, you know, you should be a team that could go to the NBA Finals.
Just on a selfish note, my man Malcolm Brogdon, he's even more than Giannis, he's my favorite player, honestly. Is there a chance they lose him?
Oh, I mean, he's a restricted free agent, so they always have the chance to match any offer that's given to him. So you start there. So really, I should say there's no chance because they can match, but
right.
Essentially the only thing that you're worried about is just such an outlandish offer that you can't bring yourself to actually go out there and spend that money, because I don't know where that number is. Brogdon has had some problems with his feet early in his career. He's obviously at a more advanced age than most guys going into their fourth season.
Well, yeah, he was a four-year guy in college, right?
It's a 5 or 6 year guy, really, because he had to sit out a year. So he's even further in age than most people would think. And, you know, you have to balance out just how much you can spend on a guy like that. But, you know, I think if that number stays around $20 million a year, I think the Bucks match. I think it's where, you know, if you get up above that, that's where it gets a little bit more hairy and you have to really try to figure out, is this worthwhile? And I don't know if we're going to see one of those outlandish offers, but, you know, as the old saying goes, it only takes one, right?
Yep.
And if it happens, it happens, and you're going to have to see just how far the Bucks would go to bring him back.
His name is Eric Name, and he hails from Slinger, Wisconsin. And he's got one of the coolest gigs this year on the face of the sports planet. It's covering the Milwaukee Bucks for The Athletic and our Bucks insider on The Fan in Milwaukee. Eric, always a pleasure, man. We'll talk again, all right?
I look forward to it. Thank you so much.
There he is, Eric Name on the Schneider Orange Hotline.
Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. You work hard, they work hard, they treat you fair. For 80-plus years, they've been getting it done. Call them 844-PRIDE or go to schneiderjobs.com. 844-PRIDE or go to schneiderjobs.com.
This portion of the Bill Michaels Show brought to you by our friends at the Bucks. The Bucks are in the Eastern Conference Finals. You can cheer on the deer with the official playoff gear. You like how that rhymes? Shop at the latest playoff merchandise events at the Bucks Pro Shop, downtown at the Fiserv Forum, and the new place, the Bayshore Town Center, the pop-up shop. You can shop online as well at shop.bucks.com. Shop.bucks.com. And once you're geared up, you'll want to stop down and join the party at the Deer District for every game of this playoff run. Multiple screens for watching the game. There's foods, there's drink, all on the plaza, and it's a great giveaway night as well. So fear the deer and go Bucks.
All right, welcome back. It is the Bill Michaels Show, a Thursday edition. Tim Allen in for Bill today. Thanks for listening. We'll talk about something that is really concerning. I'm beginning to be a little more focused in and around the game of baseball, and that is safety. Not on the field necessarily, but in the stands. And those of you that aren't aware of it, there was a kid that was hit. And details are still starting to come out. There's a radio station that reported in Houston that the kid was conscious and crying. It was a little girl. And we're all going to guess 3 or 4 or 5 maybe that was struck with a ball. And you wonder how it can be prevented. And that's the thing, moving forward. how to prevent this stuff from going on. Because it's not just balls, it's bats too. Bats break and splinter and the whole deal. I don't know if I necessarily want to do the blame game. But when there's a kid that gets hurt, when there's a woman that dies ultimately from a hit in the head with a baseball, and believe me, this is coming from a guy that's been hit in the head with a baseball at a baseball game, a major league baseball game. I was hit in the head in the press box. It got me. That didn't get me good. I wasn't going to let it get me good. But you wonder how it can be stopped. Now, there's been some additional netting that has been thrown up and mandated by the league. And how would fans feel then to be completely caged out? You're caged out of the game. There's some narrative that talks about that's part of the allure of baseball. That's part of the tradition of baseball, is that it is open air. Unless you're in a dome. Well, still, you know what I'm saying. You are closer to the players. You're right there. I can't tell you as a kid how many times I have filtered my way down to the railing as a little kid with my camera, a pen, and the program. All three of them ready to go. Need an autograph, get an autograph, you get a picture. I wonder if that netting then would prevent that sort of feel, that sort of connection to the game of baseball. Because we are, historically, America's pastime, right, with baseball. I don't know what the new generation thinks about it, but based on a game every night for 6 months and still packing in 30-plus thousand, it still is pretty cool. People a lot of times will compare NASCAR to baseball or football to baseball in attendance. Man, you're only doing it once a week. Of course you're going to get attendance. Baseball is every day. The Brewers are averaging, I want to say this year, 33 to 34,000 per game for 6 months. 180 days and you fire up 162 games. 18 or 20 off days in there. I know they've adjusted that just a little bit. But that's part of why we love baseball, is that it's connected like that. The screen behind the plate, the fencing behind the plate, the netting behind the plate. We all got used to that, didn't we? Everything's good there. You don't even see it. You watch a game from behind those things, you don't even see it. It's a non-factor. But when people are getting hurt, there's some solutions that I have, and the culpability on this falls in three phases. I'll have that for you after the break here, but it does, and again, I'm not pointing fingers necessarily. I think people need to hold their end of the bargain up, and that includes you as a fan. That's part of the trilogy here. But I'll have that for you. I want to get into this as to how we can protect fans that are distracted these days. It's a different world these days. You talk about change. We didn't have cell phones in the 40s going to a baseball game to distract us. The game was the thing. And I'm not saying that that's a bad or a good thing. That's not the debate, whether your cell phone is a good or a bad thing, or whether your conversation or your selfie or your pictures that you're taking or all the things that go along with social media platforms. You see how many times you look behind the plate, look in the stands, look where the eyes are. I'm okay with that change, but how can we make it happen? 855-830-8648 to join that conversation. It's deep, and people are getting hurt, and people are, well, one lady lost her life. We'll get into it next, 855-830-8648. Tim Allen in for Bill today. You're listening, Wisconsin, to the Bill Michaels Show.
everywhere in Wisconsin. The Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.